Brethren, could we turn for a few moments, first of all, to the 138th Psalm. Our brother mentioned that verse, read the verse in Isaiah chapter 40, "The word of our God shall stand forever." I would like to notice a few verses in the New Testament, particularly in connection with the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But before doing so, I would like to notice the 138th Psalm and the second verse, the last part of the verse. "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now, if we could just turn to Matthew chapter 1, was read to us this morning. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." In the fourth chapter of Acts, we have that verse, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." And so many of us here this afternoon can with grateful hearts acknowledge that by the grace of God we have come to know the saving power of that precious person and that precious name of Jesus. For some, they look back over a few years. For some, they look back over many, many years. But brethren, there was a time, and how it rejoices our hearts to talk about it, a time when we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. The time when we first confessed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first time, perhaps, in my own case, it was a matter of going home and telling my mother. But the joy, the wonder, and the joy of it, that now I am saved. That this name that was simply a name has now become the most precious name that I have ever known and ever will know, the name of Jesus. Our dear brother here last night gave out the gospel of the grace of God, and for 1 hour we heard in one way or another from the Word of God the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of our dear young people here this afternoon go to school, and sometimes we see them with badges on their coats. Perhaps it's simply a little sign that says, "I belong to Jesus." A little while ago I was driving and I saw a car in front of me with a bumper sticker on it. And on this bumper sticker it simply said, "The best thing that ever happened to me was Jesus." The name of Jesus. And brethren, we have a precious privilege, you and I, here in this world, of making known the name of Jesus. It may be by preaching the gospel. It may be by giving out gospel tracts. It may be in any number of ways. Any number of ways. The opportunities, oh, brethren, don't we have to confess, there's no shortage of opportunities. Perhaps there's a shortage of diligence and energy, but no shortage of opportunities. We have a privilege, a responsibility, but a privilege to make known the name of Jesus. But then, brethren, we find that this precious book, the word in the 138th Psalm is that the Lord has magnified His word above all His name. And so it is that we find that having come to know this precious name, the name of Jesus, and the wonder and the joy of it, and the desire of our hearts that others might know about Him, yet there is given to us one restriction in making known that name. The reminder that His Word has been magnified above all His name. And I am never justified in, with all the desire that by the grace of God is in our hearts to make known that name, we are never justified in going contrary to His word, even to make known that precious name. Oh, we sometimes hear it said, the only thing that matters is that souls be saved. That is not true. God has magnified His word above His name, and we are never, never justified. Never justified in setting, as it were, and I trust I say it reverently, in setting the name above the word. The word of God says He's magnified His word above His name. It's so very, very important. And oh, how I say this to my own heart. So vitally important that we remember in making known that name that it be done in a manner, that it be done in a way that conforms to the precious Word of God. Now, if we could turn to Matthew chapter 18 for a moment. Matthew chapter 18, our brother referred to this in his address this afternoon. If we go down to the 20th verse, well-known verse, for where two or three are gathered together in or unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now again, there are many here this afternoon that can look back and with grateful hearts acknowledge that there came a time when by the grace of God we were shown that there is a privilege given to the people of God here in this world to be gathered unto the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and a promise given that He is in the midst of those thus gathered. I well remember visiting a dear sister down in the Maritimes who is now with the Lord. And that dear sister told me that she had served the Lord in Africa for many years. And it was only after she had known the Lord as her Savior, known the value of that precious name as Savior for over 20 years, that she discovered to her joy that it was possible for a child of God to meet together with those who also belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to meet together in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It came to her with all the joy and wonder that you could possibly imagine. And when I saw her, she had been gathered for about 2 years. And not long afterwards, at that time she was very ill, not long afterwards she was taken home. But it was a blessing to my soul to be with her, to find that she had, by the grace of God, been led by the Spirit of God to be gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have, and I have, I trust, enjoyed that privilege this morning. But we find, beloved brethren, that here in this world, in this country today, there are many who claim that they are gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They claim that they are gathered to that precious name. They say they meet according to Matthew 18 and 20. But when I go to this book again, I find again that word says that he has magnified his word above all his name. It is so easy to simply say that we claim Matthew 18 and 20. We claim to be gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But brethren, what searches our hearts, I trust, is the fact that God shows us that he has given us his word to guide us, to show us where and how we can be gathered by the Spirit of God to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a joy and what a privilege and what a tragedy it is when those who belong to the Lord Jesus, in their desire to see the name of Jesus made known to others, it may be a very real desire, but they lose sight of the privilege, the wonderful privilege of being gathered to his precious name, and they put something else, even the making known of the gospel. Perhaps it's a matter of some work that someone has, they feel laid on their hearts, and it can lead them away because they haven't submitted what they want to do to the searchings of the Word of God. How this speaks to our hearts, I trust, to my heart. His Word magnified above his name. And so it is that to be gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is a privilege. Our dear brother brought it out so lovingly this afternoon. A privilege given to us. And it's available to every child of God. Every child of God. Every member of the body of Christ. Their place is there. But his word is magnified above all his name. How important it is, how vital it is to realize that it can only be as subject to his word. It's the man bearing the pitcher of water that we have heard so often about. It's in subjection to the word that we are led to where his name is, gathered to that precious name and preserved there. And everything subjected to the searchings of that word in order that we might be preserved there. Now, if we could turn for just a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 3. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath done this deed, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now we find here in the matter of discipline in the assembly, that which is needed carries with it the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul speaks of when they were gathered together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now there was a very, very serious evil allowed at Corinth that required the discipline of the assembly. It required an action on the part of the assembly. It required that action be taken. And it was to be taken in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the midst of the two or three gathered together unto His name. His presence, His name, gave authority to what they were to do. And the Apostle Paul leaves nothing unexplained to them concerning the action required. When we come to the end of the chapter, they are told to put away from among themselves that wicked person. But brethren, we notice here that what they were told to do in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, they had the authority of the Word of God for what they did. You and I now, when action is taken in the assembly, we have the authority of the Word of God. The authority of His Word. If a situation like at Corinth arises, we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and there is the authority for what we do. The authority of the Word of God. Now there are, and this is what is particularly upon my heart this afternoon, our dear brother gave us such a lovely, encouraging word, and one wouldn't want to say anything that in any way takes our minds off of that. I'm sure our hearts rejoiced after that encouraging word from Isaiah chapter 40. But brethren, there are many problems facing the Lord's people today. There are many problems affecting assemblies and those gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus. I have no doubt that there are saints here this afternoon whose hearts are heavy because of things that have happened, the situations that have arisen that have caused sorrow and heartache. And the immediate reaction that so often arises in our hearts is something has to be done about it. Something has to be done. Some action has to be taken. Something has to be done to straighten out this problem that has arisen. Well, brethren, the Word of God stands. He has magnified His Word above all His name. And before anything can ever be done, we must be assured that we have the authority of the Word of God for the course that's to be followed. It isn't enough to have a desire. It isn't enough to see a problem and to feel that problem needs correcting. We must have the authority of the Word of God. We cannot claim the right to act in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ without the authority of His Word for what we do. How vital, how important that is. Brethren, I believe with all my heart that Satan is seeking today to use what is often good motives. That is the desire to see something corrected, using good motives to lead into a bad path. We see in the case of Peter. Peter had a real desire to defend his Lord, but he acted without the sanction of his Lord in what he did. And the result was that a high priest servant's ear was cut off. And as it's often been said, all that Peter accomplished was that he ended up giving the Lord more work to do. He only added to the problem. He didn't help it any. And so we find that this book tells us He has magnified His Word above all His name. And we never, and as I say, this is what is particularly on my heart, we never have the right to claim to be acting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We never have the right to claim that it's because of His name and the desire for the glory of His name that we want to act, unless we have the authority of the Word of God for the course we're to follow. If we don't have the sanction of the authority of the Word for the course, then all we can do is wait upon the Lord and commit the matter into the hands of the One who is the head of the body. I'd like to turn to just for one moment more to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Now, we have so often heard, and rightly so, that there can be today no pretension, and I trust there is no thought, even in corners of our hearts, any thought to being Philadelphia. But we do see in Philadelphia that which meets with the Lord's approval. And brethren, isn't that what we covet? The Lord's approval? And so he says here two things which go so well together, so necessarily together. Kept my word and not denied my name. Brethren, so much is happening in Christendom today that identifies pockets of Christendom with one kind of name or another. By the grace of God, you and I have a wonderful privilege of being identified with that name that has become so precious to our hearts, the name that we discovered when we were saved, the name to which we were gathered by the Spirit of God, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I have every confidence that it's the desire of your heart, and I trust it's a desire of mine, not to deny that name, not to seek in any way to take any other kind of name, and also, I trust, a desire to see that name glorified. But we must remember again, and I say this to my own heart, we must remember again that associated with not denying His name is keeping His word. And every action to glorify that name, every action taken that has in view the glory of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, will, if it's of God, have the authority of the Word of God behind it. We will be able to turn to the Word and say, here is the authority for the action that's taken. Not simply a desire, not simply a longing to see some tragedy corrected, not simply the desire in our hearts to see some unjust act corrected, but a desire, brethren, to glorify the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that only according to the wisdom of the Word of God.